Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, the fun is back. The fun came back to BBVA Compass Stadium this past Saturday, the Dynamo opening up their 2017 season. A 2-1 win over the defending MLS Cup champion Seattle Sounders. Dynamo fans, live up to it tonight. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what this game meant to you in the context of what we've been going through the last couple of years when it comes to style of play, winning results, all those things. I think it was a very emotional night for people. I have not seen the smiles on faces from Dynamo fans like that in a long time. And post-game over at the King's Court, the vibe, the environment, the excitement about the potential of the Dynamo was all there on display. And it was just wonderful. It was very heartfelt, and, you know, sports is entertainment. You got to be entertained, and I think this was one of the most entertaining halves, maybe the most entertaining half of soccer we have seen at BBVA Compass Stadium in an MLS regular season game. You can agree or disagree with me at 713-780-3776. So let's talk Dynamo tonight. By the way, Dynamo fan, let's not talk MLS Cup, please. It was one game, and we'll talk more about it tonight. Some pros and cons, a lot of positives to take out of that, but I think a real Wilmer Cabrera influence. Chelsea today, 2-1 winners at West Ham. Eden Hazard, Costa for the Blues, Manuel Lansing scoring in stoppage time for West Ham. Liverpool did it to Arsenal on the weekend, so I want to hear from all you Premier League fans as well here tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number. U.S. under-20s winning CONCACAF, headed to the under-20 World Cup. How do you spell relief by qualifying? Second biggest FIFA event is the under-20 World Cup. Huge. MLS off and running. Huge impressions coming from places like Atlanta, Orlando City. What are your thoughts about the start of the 2017 MLS season? Do you follow the league or not? I got to tell you, Orlando City Stadium is absolutely amazing. It is, I think, the most European stadium in the league, hands down. Overhangs, absolutely fantastic. Atlanta, 55,000 at Bobby Dowd Stadium. 55,000. Tata Martinez, who was in Houston this past summer, coaching Argentina and Lionel Messi, the coach of Atlanta. And guess what? He has been a fan of the pressing game. He did it with Argentina. He's done it with Barcelona. And granted, he's not doing it with Messi and this level of talent. But they've got an attractive, fun team. They got beat late in the game. Didn't complete the 90 minutes. They lost 2-1. But they played entertaining soccer. I pay to see Atlanta. And there is the influence of that man already on that team. Minnesota, that's another story. We'll talk about that tonight. But we'll go over some of the results. We do want your thoughts. 713-780-3776. Dynamo fans, my expectations for you are high tonight after what happened this past weekend. Again, 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. Streaming at ESPN975.com. All the podcasts can be found at podcastarena.com and or iTunes. As always, Tyler Scott behind the glass. Got bumped a little bit later here tonight, 8 to 10. But our regular Wednesday show is back at 7. So in 2 days, we're going to be on the air again. Going to do a roundtable in here. Got some great plans for Wednesday. Great things for tonight. Eric Kubo-Torres is going to weigh in on all things Eric Torres. I'm going to ask him about the new setup, how it benefits him. I'm going to ask him about the dark times the last couple of years where he wasn't scoring goals. No Mexican player has ever scored more goals in Major League Soccer than Cubo Torres. Can his potential be unlocked with Kyoto, with Elise, and with the wide game and with penetrators? It absolutely can. And I had a feeling he was going to finally score his first goal in a Dynamo uniform, and he did just that. You know what? Let's take a listen to some goals from the Dynamo 2-1 victory over Seattle. It was a great night down at BBVA Compass Stadium. Kubo getting his first goal, and Romel Kyoto scoring a goal that made him best 11 during the week. So let's start it off with Cubo Torres off a free kick, which, in fact, he earned.
Torres. Benzema Torres has got it! He has finally scored his first goal for the Houston Dynamo. And with all due respect, you know what? It'd be a wonderful idea for him, just opening it up the first 15 and last 15 minutes. Romel Kyoto. Torres has made a run to his left. Kyoto! What a goal from Romel Kyoto! He has bent it in. And the Dynamo up 2-0 here in the 43rd minute. The Honduran connection paying off.
So it was fun down there. It was a lot of fun. And post-match, people were smiling. And entertainment does matter. It's the kiss of death in Major League Soccer when somebody says it's just about winning. I don't buy that anymore to one iota. I am not buying a ticket unless I'm going to be entertained and I like the playing style. I'm not going to stadiums to watch paint dry whether my team wins 1-0 on a corner kick or not, or a set piece. I want chances. I want open play. I want exciting soccer, and I understand that in the context of managers and what they have to do. And I do appreciate team shape and balance, but you have to entertain in sports now. Just winning is not enough. I want entertainment. I think most do. I love that Wilmer Cabrera is putting it out there. He's owning. And he said to me, this is a 4-3-3. This is a real 4-3-3. This is not some coach or manager in MLS telling me they're going to play in a 4-3-3, and then they come out and they sit behind the ball in a 4-5-1, and you know, like it's sleight of hand, like you're trying to protect something. So tired of the lack of transparency, and Cabrera's doing it. He's put it out there. He was the only person that could be hired at this stage for the Dynamo who needed a dramatic overhaul on the field. This was a no-brainer. This team had to get more Latin. It had to reflect the city more. It could not keep going on the way it was. He's got a pressing game now. It's exciting. We got a taste of it. We saw a first 45 minutes that, you know, there were more chances created in that first half than most MLS. Yeah, I mean, it was out of this world. I had one fan come up to me and go, I didn't see that many chances the entire season last year. That was a stretch. But that's what people are thinking. Now, look, this system is not going to work to the extent that it does without the key signings of Romel Kyoto and Albert Elise. And don't for a second think I'm not honoring all these other great moves that have been made. AJ De La Garza, heck of a signing. Competitor, winner. It's tough to get behind the guy. Leonardo, can he recapture the 2015 form? Adolfo Machado. These are all good signings. This has been an overhaul, a real overhaul. And the Dynamo are trying to cultivate a new identity. I don't think there's any question. They have been identity-less for a number of years. This adding one or two players and thinking it's all going to change. No, this is a change in system, change in playing style. It's out with the old, it's in with the new, and I don't even know what the old was the last couple of years. And it's excitement, it's optimism, it's happiness, and let's all stay grounded. And I'm telling you, Wilmer Cabrera is doing that. By the way, how refreshing was it to see Wilmer Cabrera wearing a suit? And I'm going to tell you why. And you may think this is silly to even focus on that. It sends a message out that this is ultra-professional, ultra-competitive, and most importantly, Wilmer Cabrera in a suit as the manager, and I'm not sure he's going to be able to do that in 90-degree heat. But he sends a message that this is business. And he sends that message to his players. I love it. Personally, I love it. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Let's listen to Wilmer Cabrera talking about some of the tactics here and some of his post game right now.
We're really pleased and happy for the city of Houston, for the Houston Dynamo, for the players. It's been, so far it's been tough for what it's been happening lately. So starting with a win over the reigning champion on the opener in 2017 season is always positive. We're really happy, but it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. We have to be measured about what we we believe, but we continue believing in what we've been doing, and hopefully we believe that this is going to get better. We're going to try to grow game by game.
This is a man that's keeping it all very level. By the way, Kubo Torres, Eric Torres is on the show tonight. Columbus Crew manager, Greg Berhalter. You're going to find this an interesting interview because Columbus wants to play out of the back. They want their attack initiated from their backs. This is going to be a collision of two styles, and we're going to find out who wins out. The Dynamo pressing game or Columbus being able to establish a passing rhythm coming off their backs. My gut tells me this is going to be two ships bumping in the night here. So it makes it very, very interesting coming into this game. All right, let me continue on with Wilmer Cabrera because Kubo Torres has scored more goals in Major League Soccer than any Mexican player. Hands down. Blanco, all of them. He scored 22 of them in 44 appearances for Chivas USA. He's got his first for the Houston Dynamo now. He's got 23 goals in MLS. Cabrera has gotten the best out of Eric Torres. Let's listen to Wilmer Cabrera on the emotion of seeing Eric Torres score.
Well, it was good for him. It was, you know, I think it's not my emotion. I think it's if you're a Houston fan, Houston Dynamo fan, everyone, you know, felt it, a relief that Eric scored a goal. And it's good for him, it's good for the people, it's good for the fans, it's good for the club, it's good for Eric Torres, it's good for everyone. Because it's, you know, almost, I don't know how long, 2 years since he hasn't scored, and he hasn't scored for us. So, and now, first game, he scores, that is positive. And it's positive. He worked hard during the 90 minutes, and it's going to bring confidence for him and for everyone around him.
Now, you remember what Wilmer Cabrera said before the season. I'm going to build an environment that can bring the confidence out of Kubo Torres. He also said that Kubo Torres has to earn the respect of his teammates. If you physically look at Kubo Torres now, Eric Torres, you notice a physical maturity. I think he looks more mature. I think he's carrying himself more mature. I think he realizes that this is a significant moment in his career this season. Very significant. I think his career is a bit on the line. And I think he's going to score goals this year. And he's going to score goals because he's in the right setup and right system. When he was playing last year in a team that didn't attack and he never got the ball in and around the penalty area, this was never a system set up for him to do well. Difficult. And, of course, the Dynamo didn't have the players last year. But it was a very conservative Dynamo. So Kubo Torres now has wingers that penetrate. And by the way, did you see how frustrated Roman Torres and Chad Marshall were because they had to come out of the middle. They were not happy. That was not a fun night for them, especially the first 45 minutes. They're getting dragged all over the place. 713-780-3776. Give me your thoughts on the Dynamo win over Seattle. U.S. Soccer also has come out with a new guideline requiring all players to stand during the playing of the Star-Spangled Banner before national team matches. Who would have a problem with this? Does anybody have a problem with this? 713-780-3776. Who would have a problem with U.S. Soccer requiring all players to stand during the playing of the Star-Spangled Banner before national team matches? I wouldn't understand if anybody had a problem with that. 713-780-3776 is the number. My thanks to all the fans I saw after the game and on the way in the stadium. It was fun. And after the game, I went over to the King's Court right on the corner of Hutchins and Walker. It's a great spot. It's packed before the games. People are getting into it, getting pumped up for the games. They'll do it again against Columbus this weekend. But it was fun to go in there after the game and just see such a genuine connection. And I feel such a genuine connection here in Houston with the soccer fans. This is a sport we love. You go through good and bad times with your MLS team. A lot of you have hung in there. Some of you haven't. And you know what? If you haven't hung in there, you were leaving for a good reason. And now you may come back. Team's more interesting. Coach is demanding. Good things are happening. Let's get down to the Columbus Crew game. Real quick, before we go to break here, just want to remind you. The Red Army and Bayou City Blues are two supporters groups of Manchester United and Chelsea. Tom Clare. Friday, June 16, we have at the Doubletree, 400 Dallas. Interesting night. Norman Whiteside, who played for Manchester United and for Northern Ireland in a World Cup at 17. He's the featured speaker. There's a dinner. There's a raffle. There's an auction. It's June 16th, 6:30. It's hosted by Tom Clare of the Red Army here in Houston, Jesus Martinez of Bayou City Blues, and myself. Proceeds Curing Children's Cancer Fund. You go to Facebook group /Red Army. Find the information. I hope you'll show up. It's $135 a ticket. It's a great night. Includes a meal, everything. They do these dinners in England a lot. Bobby Tambling, also of Chelsea, one of their all-time leading scorers, is there. Two tickets right now to the Dynamo Columbus Crew this Saturday, 7:30 p.m. at 713-780-3776. Two tickets to Dynamo Columbus. Sixth caller, you get them right now. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk a little bit about U.S. soccer. We'll continue in our Premier League talk and MLS talk.
ESPN 97.5.
Torres. Vincent Torres has got it! He has finally scored his first goal for the Houston Dynamo.
And with all due respect, you know what? It'd be a wonderful idea for him, just opening it up the first 15 and last 15 minutes. Romel Kyoto. Torres has made a run to his left. Kyoto! What a goal from Romel Kyoto! He has bent it in. And the Dynamo up 2-0 here in the 43rd minute. The Honduran connection paying off.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, you might have caught the game on Cube 57. It was our first broadcast of the year. Eddie Robinson and Cindy Bourbano on the broadcast with me. So every Friday night at 10:30, there is a show called the Dynamo and Dash Zone. So you can catch up on Dynamo and Dash there on Cube 57. And then again, we're on the air this weekend bringing you a pre- and post-game show on Cube 57 with the Dynamo taking on the Columbus Crew. Quick word here for Azure Salon at West Ave. I got my hair done here. Azure Salon brings you the best in luxury beauty. When I talked about
the female patrons there, but I also get my hair cut there, and they do a good job of working with my head, what I have. Azure West has been in the business for 16 years. They're located in the heart of River Oaks, the West Ave Shopping Center. Ladies, they have you covered with color and cuts. Azure Salon at West Ave for the best in luxury beauty. And by the way, do a great job of making cleaning me up, that's for sure. They don't have a lot to work with me, but in my case, they do a wonderful job. So my thanks to everybody at Azure Salon at West Ave. Get over there. Male or female, they'll do an amazing job for you. All right. Later on in the show, Phil Rollins of Orlando City helped bring that club and get them rooted in Orlando. He will join us on the program tonight to talk about that amazing atmosphere down there. They got a 1-0 win over New York City FC. So we'll talk to him. Kyle Aaron got the goal. By the way, it was Giles Barnes who set it up with a beautifully clipped in left-footed ball. I mean, Giles has landed in a great place. This is one of the best and exciting soccer cities in the United States right now. It's ratcheted up. You know, they're going to be haves and have-nots. And Atlanta and Orlando City are going to be haves. So they got a 1-0 win over New York City FC. And Giles Barnes now is going to be more pivotal. That signing is going to prove to be more important now with Kaká out for at least 6 weeks. Remember, he left the game early. Giles came on and very quickly after that laid on the important ball. But you know what? I believe it was best to move Giles on. I think this is good for his career. And I think it was good for the Dynamo as well. There's these moves sometimes that work for everybody. 713-780-3776. Also, Greg Berhalter will join us. Greg is the coach of Columbus Crew SC. He will be on the show tonight, and we'll talk with him about the matchup this coming Saturday and what's going on with the Crew. Also, Dwight Burgess from their broadcast team. Dwight has been a friend of this show and on many times. He'll come on. He's got a lot of great insight on Columbus Crew SC, so he will join us as well tonight. So we've got a number of very, very good guests, as well as the Eric Torres interview coming up as well tonight. So lots going on. I got some tickets to give away as well tonight as we roll on. All right, so one of the big, and of course this is picked up by everybody because this is the way it works in sports media. There's these couple of hot topics that just everybody grabs and runs with and everybody comments on it because it seems to draw huge attention. And what I'm speaking to right now is the fact that U.S. Soccer has come out with a policy now. And that policy and guideline requires all players to stand during the playing of the Star-Spangled Banner before national team matches. And here's the quote from U.S. Soccer. Quote, "We have an expectation that our players and coaches will stand and honor the flag while the national anthem is played." Does anybody have a problem with this? I don't know why there would be a problem. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Alexi Lalas was very heartfelt and spoke out about this on the weekend at halftime during one of the Fox broadcasts. Here's Lalas and his commentary on the U.S. soccer guideline requiring all players to stand during the playing of the Star-Spangled Banner before national team matches.
Well, I think U.S. soccer has the right to do this. The question is it the right thing to do? And I say 100%. It is a privilege. It is an honor. It is a choice to represent your country, and it comes with responsibilities and expectations. And I know nowadays sometimes the national anthem is viewed as background noise or as a reminder to some about the problems, the real problems that we have as a country. But I look at it as a unique moment. When we come together, we honor and we celebrate being citizens of the greatest country in the world. And I think that it is a tradition that should be preserved. And I have been in stadiums where I've stood for the anthem and everybody's booed, where flags have been burned, where I've been called every name in the book. I have never served in the military. I have represented my country on the field. And I know that pales in comparison to the men and women in our armed forces that serve our country and some who have paid that ultimate price. So damn right, I'm going to stand, I'm going to put my hand over my heart, and I am going to sing. And I believe that all U.S. national team players should be required to do that, because just because we live in the land of the free doesn't mean that we are free to do anything that we want.
pretty powerful. That's pretty heartfelt. That resonated with me. I mean, I come from a military family. I had a father that served in World War II, probably should never have survived Okinawa. God, what would we have done without Soccer Matters? Just kidding. But I grew up in one of these households where father didn't talk about it a lot. Those guys were a very different breed. And all I ever really heard was it was just a good bunch of guys. That's what my dad would say. Anyway, I think it does resonate. I don't think there's a place for politics in soccer. I don't like when I go to an athletic event, and I don't think most people want to go to an athletic event and see it politicized. We get enough of that stuff during the day and in every other area of our life. I think that going to athletic events is our escape. Why do we want to get lambasted with that? And look, here's the thing. And believe me, I'm for free speech and people being able to speak out. So don't think I'm one-sided on this at all. I'm for free speech. But if you really want to make a statement, decline playing for the U.S. national team and then go out and set up a platform to talk about something that's very dear to your heart that's important. But don't do it by taking a knee at a national team game. I mean, you have teammates you got to respect as well. Your teammates don't want attention taken away from the preparation of coming into this game because you're taking a knee. They're going to respect you more if you did it away from the field. Set up a press conference. But I think it's an affront to teammates as well. I think it's disrespectful to teammates if you do it because you're drawing all the attention to you. When you're at a game and a match and you've all worked together to train and prepare and be focused and concentrated, and for me, disrespectful. Fans don't want to see it. Teammates don't want it. It only creates problems for them. Do it away from the field if you feel that strongly. Hey, I'm declining my call up to the U.S. national team for X, Y, and Z reasons. There you go. Simple. Guess nobody disagrees with me. 713-780-3776, the number to call in here tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number tonight. Things come with responsibility. All right, so I want to move back to Wilmer Cabrera. Here's Cabrera talking about sort of the tactics, and this is a bit of a long soundbite, but it is one of interest here. Let's roll this on Wilmer Cabrera and the tactics, and then we'll take some phone calls at 713-780-3776.
Yes, this is going to be us. We're not a team that is going to be based on the possession oriented. Because we don't have that type of players. We have attackers. We have guys who they have dynamic. We have midfielders who work hard. So this is going to be the Houston Dynamo. And we face a team that is very good. It's the champion, reigning champion 2016. Very talented players. But we were able to create options to score. And then we were able to hold their attack. And they were, of course, after 2-0 halftime, we knew they were coming. They're going to come. Are we going to be able to hold them? And we're going to be able to be sure that not only hold them, but also with the possibility to create more options. And we tried, and we received a goal. And I think more of the people felt like, oh, my God, this is going to be similar. But the team kept good mentality, working hard. And I think it was good. At the end, we created some other options with them, and we were able to finish strong mentally and winning 3 points that at the end they are the most important.
All right, so there's Wilmer Cabrera talking about the tactics, but what I love is he's laid this out very clearly. Said to me, and I'm going to say this again, I said it earlier in the show, this is a true 4-3-3. And this is with two wide guys that are going to press high. And guess what? It is a collision course with Columbus this Saturday because they like to play out of the back. So remember me saying that on this show. It is a collision course this Saturday. And we'll see whose ideology and belief works. All right, we played the Lawless soundbite on the national anthem. Omar wants to weigh in on it. Omar, welcome to the show.
Hi. So I wanted to interject. I'm actually an immigrant. I didn't move here till I was 18. And I feel very strongly as far as the national anthem is concerned. And the important thing to consider here is the context. I think people are comparing this to Kaepernick and NFL and NBA. You say this and that. But representing the national team on a national stage where you are playing against another country is a whole other context, because in that context, you are representing your country. You are not a professional player that is representing a franchise. You are actually there to represent the country. So I actually completely agree with what you said in regards to, if you've got a problem with it, sit out, don't represent the country, and say, this is why I'm not representing the country, because I'm not happy about the state of affairs. But I think on the international soccer level, if you choose to represent the country, then you wear that crest with pride and you stand up and you actually sing along. In fact, I believe there's a couple of soccer federations that require you to sing along with the anthem, not just stand there. So it's very important to understand the context. And, you know, all these ESPN analysts that keep going off and saying, well, we applauded Kaepernick's actions and all. Well, that's a completely different context, and that's important to understand.
No, I think you're making a great point, and I would only say this. I would only say this. My simple take here on this whole thing is, and this is the only area where I would have a complaint with Kaepernick, is that this also affects his teammates. I mean, this is an attention grab. And when you've prepared all week for an event with your brethren, with your brotherhood, going into an NFL game, frankly, having been a professional athlete myself, if somebody else did that, I would say it's self-indulgent. And I think it's disrespectful to his teammates. Forget about whatever his message is. It's not the place for it. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying do it at a press conference somewhere else. Don't put your teammates at risk who you're supposedly, you have your backs. That's why we call it a team and a team game. But
so,
I do
so
like...
I'll play devil's advocate, and I won't disagree with you, because I think they should all stand regardless of the event. I will play devil's advocate and say there is a legitimate argument when it comes to the NFL and NBA to say, well, that's the only way we will get other people's attention, because guess what? If someone like Kaepernick, who is probably not even a top 200 player in the NFL, kind of tries to hold a press conference, I'm not sure how many press folks are going to be interested in that. However, when he does it during the national anthem, he pretty much obligates everyone to talk about it. So, again, I disagree with these actions. I think he should stand regardless. I think there are better ways of addressing it. I'm just saying there's a devil's advocate point there as it pertains to professional national leagues.
I think
the United States internationally is a line that shall not be crossed.
Yeah, that's a good take, and you're the first one to say that. But I would also say that I do think Colin Kaepernick, if he brought issues of race up outside the game, he would get an audience and he would have people listening to him. I don't think there's any question. I really do. Megan Rapinoe gets it as well. But my concern is always, is there a little self-indulgence in some of this stuff? And that's, you know, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. I'm going to take the high road and say they're genuine in their intentions. But it is hard to tell these days with what people are doing with their opportunities and their platforms. But I do like your distinction between the NFL and national teams. That's a good call. Thank you, Omar. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. So Omar weighing in there. Some good takes there. I'm all for free speech. Not when I'm paying for an NFL ticket or an NBA ticket. Sorry. I don't want to see it. Do it somewhere else, and I may pay attention, actually. I guess that means we're taking a break. All right. So, Liberty Kitchen. I'm passionate about great food. My friends at Liberty Kitchen. Lunch, supper, brunch. They do it in a great way. Think of it as modern American comfort food. Classics taken up several notches. Great burgers, mac and cheese, chicken fried, mom's spaghetti chowder. Farm stand crisp food that Liberty Kitchen stamps its claim on. They own it. Big flavor served at a neighborhood social. Liberty Kitchen staples, deviled eggs topped with fried oysters, Dixie fried chicken, Creole gumbo. They got the raw bar, oysters on the half shell. Great chops and steaks, ribs and fish round out the menu. They've got weekend specials, signature cocktails, cold beer on tap. Liberty Kitchen lunch, supper, and brunch. Stop by the Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, Treehouse, Memorial City. Also, I want to remind you about the gorgeous Gale, Irish pub with an Irish feel. 5555 Morningside. Catch all the best soccer and football matches there. Stop in for a pint and a bite. Say hello to Peter. TheGorgeousGale.com, an official Soccer Matters pub. And also get down to Bar Munich in Midtown. Great soccer watching spot. Say hello to Raymond. Wonderful open airy place. Football fans, you're going to love it. Right in the heart of Midtown, Bar Munich on Louisiana. BarMunich.com. 2616 Louisiana, a Soccer Matters pub. We will take a break. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in. Coming up, one of the commentators, long time, since the beginning of Major League Soccer in 1996. Dwight Burgess is coming up next.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, don't forget the soccer fans, Dynamo fans. Get down to Kings Court, 903 Hutchins, before the Dynamo Crew game this weekend. It's in Edo on the corner of Walker and Hutchins. Absolutely packed before and after the game. So much fun in there. Not packed to the point where you can't move around, but perfect. It's got a rooftop deck that looks out at the stadium. El Bateon, the supporters group, hangs there. They show all the soccer matches, Premier League. It's the home of the Manchester United and Chelsea supporters groups here in Houston as well. NFL Sunday Ticket, they'll show that as well. 24 taps, full bar, extensive selection of spirits, great Indian British cuisine, rooftop patio I mentioned. It is a real soccer pub feel. We head over there after the games, Eddie Robinson and I. So if you want to join us down there after the Columbus game, we celebrate like-minded people who love the game of soccer / football. Say hello to Jay. He is the owner of Kings Court. It's Kings Court, 903 Hutchins. What a great soccer hangout that is. All right, let's go to Columbus Crew commentator. He's long time. 1996, he is one of the few remaining. I think there's only three or four guys that have been calling games since 96. He's Dwight Burgess. He joins us now. Dwight, how are you?
Good, Glenn. It's nice to be on the show again. You're one of those long-timers, too, you know.
I was hoping you didn't say that. I didn't want to be outed, but we're all hanging in there and enjoying. Boy, we have seen some rise in this game, though, from 96 to now. I guess I just got to put that out there to you.
We have seen some unbelievable developments and evolution of this league and the talent and the stadiums. And geez, you and I could go on for a long time, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I appreciate you doing this on short notice because we want to get the lowdown on the Columbus Crew. So how about some just general thoughts about their 1-1 draw with Chicago and kind of what Greg Berhalter has done in the offseason, because there has been some change similar to the Dynamo.
Absolutely. In fact, double-digit turnover in the roster. I think, Glenn, what's got a lot of folks talking right now in Columbus is the way in which the game ended on Saturday. The first half was quite good for Columbus at times. I thought borderline spectacular. And some of the attacking things they were doing had a lead, but this was the refrain for 2016, failure to protect second-half leads, particularly at home, and turn 3 points into one, or on occasion, none. Now, it's the first game of a new season. There have been a lot of changes, so I don't think we want to make too much out of it. But it smacked a little bit, I think, too familiar for some. I like the talent that he's brought in. At the end of the day, this is still a system. The system has not changed. He wants to get those wingbacks into the attack. He is counting on Merrim and Finley to really kind of refine their stride of 2015. That led him to an MLS Cup appearance, and certainly those two showed up in the game on Saturday. But I still think this is much more about the whole being greater than the sum of the parts. It's plugging guys into positions. And as you well know, you got a starting goalkeeper change. The center-back tandem had never played together before. And Tony Chani went from starting and playing pretty much every minute for the last couple of years to not even being in the 18. He was a healthy scratch on Saturday. So definitely some transition.
Dwight, has there been an attempt directly to making this a more youthful team? Because, you know, youth and pace was something the Dynamo certainly looked to add to their team. They've done that. Was adding youth important this year to the Columbus Crew?
You know, I think it was, Glenn. I don't know that that was the driving force initially. I think it's more a combination of how things came together. I was a little bit surprised when I discovered that they're, you know, the second youngest team in the league, because you look at guys like Merrim and Finley, who aren't old by any stretch, but, you know, Merrim's the senior guy on the roster now, and Federico Higuain's on the north side of 30. Mensa certainly comes in as a strong veteran player, but you've got a youngster in goal. Will Trapp's been kind of like, you know, Eddie Gavin. You know, he's been around forever, and yet he's still in his early 20s. So it's a real blend there, but I think it had more to do with changing the dynamic, creating competition, and trying to fine-tune to tweak certain things rather than a broad-stroke change.
So a lot of change at the back. Let's first off start with the goalkeeping position. Let's start with Zach Steffen, because he is a young goalkeeper, one with a lot of talent.
Oh, no question about it. I've had a chance to spend a little bit of time with him over the last part of preseason heading into Saturday. He's much bigger a presence than I realized initially, but a tremendous athlete, wise beyond his years. Great shot stopper, does organize the defense well, which is important because Ness and Mensa are just beginning to learn how to play together, and Will Trapp is in front of them, but Will is a leader by example more than by word. But he brings tremendous athleticism and confidence, particularly at his age. And as you well know, he's been around the youth national program for quite a while.
Dwight Burgess joining us, one of the longtime commentators in Major League Soccer. He's synonymous with the Columbus Crew. Three out of the four backs have been changed: Mensa, Ness, Raitala. How did you see them working as a unit of four in that first game?
I thought it was a good outing for them. I think on the right side, Offal has become a really dynamic player. When he first arrived, you know, he brought the experience, but in athleticism, but he was erratic, and his ability to pass and his ability to shoot coming off that right side has really evolved over the last year or so. But when you think about the fact that these guys had never played a minute together before in this league, add Zach to that equation, you know, you're looking at a different deal. I was a little concerned, though, I will tell you, on Saturday. A couple of times I thought centrally they got caught at speed, and I think that that's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. Is it a one-time thing, or is it going to be a trend? Is all the pace out wide and there's not as much in the middle? When you look at what you guys have there in Houston, that could really be an advantage for them if it proves to be a problem for Columbus.
Yeah, before we talk the matchup, I just want to lead you into Federico Higuain. Obviously, he's been such a focal point in Columbus, such a big piece of it. Still seems to be ticking, still is the guy that the ball has to go through in order for the Crew to get the best out of the likes of Finley, Merrim, and Ola Kamara.
It absolutely is. But the big part of Federico's game is the vision and the ability to draw others. So if the right runs are being made, if they're maintaining their shape and their balance, he is going to be able to make the passes that ultimately will unlock the door, get them into the final third, get them inside the penalty area, such as be the case. You know, I think it's been interesting in the offseason. There's been a few in the national media who have questioned his return to Columbus, suggesting his age and injury problems. But the reality is he still is just into his 30s. And the only real injury he's had in his time in MLS was the sports hernia last year, which is a unique injury. So I think that's been a bit overstated. And I think the greatest example I can give you is on Saturday, he's leading the attack at the edge of the final third, turned the ball over, and then within 10, 12 seconds, won it back 15 yards on his own side of the halfway line, you know, and tracked back and did the work. And I don't think that's what people understand about Pipa is how much work he does during the course of a match.
Well, you know, sometimes people are trying to put people out to pasture too early. This guy's got so much to offer. I just remember from that game against Chicago, this delicate ball he laid on to Ola Kamara, who was put in one-on-one. Yep. And just some of the beauty and some of the types of balls he plays. And as you mentioned, the way he looks at the game and sees the game. So, you know, it is a true playmaker that Columbus plays with. I don't think there's any question, and not all teams do that in MLS.
No, I agree with 100%. And just another thing, you know, about him is when he first came to the league, he spoke no English whatsoever, and he has really made a concerted effort to not just learn some words, but to really be able to communicate in English, and has begun to become much more involved in media outings and things. So this is a guy that really understands his place in the team, you know, stepped aside as captain to allow Will Trapp to become captain. So an ego, yes, but not a destructive one.
Let's talk quickly here about a clash of styles. Now, as you know, and I'm sure you've probably watched the Dynamo game, it's a 180-degree turn. This is an out-and-out 4-3-3. It's not a hybrid 4-3-3. It is with two wide guys who are going to push very high against the Columbus team that loves to build it up out of the back. I mean, yep. I think we're headed for a collision course here on Saturday, Dwight.
No, I do too, and I think it could be an exciting game, an entertaining contest with some goals being scored. But, you know, as you know, even in 2015 when Columbus went all the way to the final, their Achilles heel has been unforced turnovers in the back half of the field, because when they gain possession, they're pushing numbers forward so quickly that if they turn the ball over, they just don't have the numbers in terms of organization. And I think of a guy like Harrison Offal, who is so fast and gets so far forward, and he and Ethan Finley really do well on the right side. But it does leave gaps, and I'm very curious to see how they're going to handle that, because Houston is going to put a lot of pressure on them. And, you know, to sum it up, I'd say, you know, it's a high-risk, high-reward kind of a thing. You go with that traditional 4-3-3, you generate turnovers, there's no question that you're going to get goal-scoring opportunities. On the other hand, if Columbus is able to get through the first line and get into the mid-third, they may be able to then generate some quality attacks of their own. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
No, me too. I'm excited. I think the entertainment came back to BBVA Compass Stadium against Seattle. It was one of the more uplifting, entertaining games in a long time that we've seen in this stadium. So I'm excited about it, too. And don't for a second think that this 4-3-3, I mean, it's a system that they're still working on. And as you know, as a coach in the college game, Dwight, it's a system when it works right can suffocate people. But it's also a system that can have liabilities if team shape is not correct, if attention to detail the moment the ball's lost is not quick. I think you're right. I think we're going to see something very special. How about Ethan Finley? 2 years ago, outstanding season in Major League Soccer, call-ups to the national team. How big of a year is it for Ethan Finley?
I think it's an important year. I think he's still probably well to the periphery of the national team, but I don't think there's any question that it gave him a market boost in confidence. I think we've seen the same thing for Justin Merrim as he's gone back to the Middle East and become a regular at the national team level. It's just that level of competition. You gain the confidence and you play. And I think the fact that he scored on Saturday is a great sign and a great start to the season. He's a really good guy, tremendous work ethic, understands his role. But if Columbus is really going to make noise in the Eastern Conference this year, there's no question that Ethan Finley on one side and then Justin Merrim on the other are going to have to get back to where they were 2 years ago.
He's Dwight Burgess, one of the Columbus Crew commentators. But, hey, Dwight, also tell us about your college program.
Well, I appreciate your asking. Wittenberg University, it's a traditional private liberal arts school, Division III, here in Ohio. And, you know, I had started my coaching career at Ohio State as an assistant and then spent 18 seasons at another Division III Capital University. And then was hired last year at Wittenberg really to go in and rebuild the program. We're in a wonderful conference, ranked among the top 10 for small college men's soccer in the country. And it's a program that's been struggling for a long time. We're not going to turn around in a hurry, but it's a great challenge and it's a great school. I'm thrilled to be there and looking forward to the future, though. We got a lot of work to do.
You're one of the hardest working men in soccer, I can tell you that. And I'll tell you another thing, and I say this with all respect, that guys like yourself in the early years of Major League Soccer that were out there for the Columbus Crew and ginning people up about it and talking about it and, you know, coaching and spreading the word and then doing all your commentary work, you know, it's huge. And I hope people, and I'm pretty sure they all do respect you in Columbus for all you've done for the pro team.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, Glenn. I do take a lot of pride in having been part of the organization, and if in some small way have contributed to the growth of MLS in Central Ohio, then I accept that. But I think, you know, yourself, Dave Johnson, John Paul Della Camera, you know, the group of us that are really kind of the old timers now, you know, we all need to get together and sit down sometime and wax poetic, because I think we could come up with a few stories.
Boy, I would love to get all three of you guys in this studio. Maybe we can do it. You know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to get us all on a phone line and get this figured out with producer Tyler Scott. I think we'd have a blast. There's
Absolutely.
Some great stories from the early days about the league and some funny ones. So, Dwight, as always, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You for coming on the program. I know it was short notice. You're a gem as usual, and get some rest, and thank you for coming on.
Thanks. Anytime, Glenn. Always enjoy talking with you.
Likewise. That's Dwight Burgess, one of the commentators on television for the Columbus Crew. He's a man of many, many talents, but a very humble guy and has done great work for the Crew. And as you heard there, also is a collegiate coach at Wittenberg. All right, we'll take a break here. Reminder, check out Kings Court, 903 Hutchins and Edo, 13 TVs. Premier League games, you name it, they've got it. La Liga, NFL Sunday Ticket, 24 taps, full bar. Dynamo fans, pre and post game, that's the place to be. You'll catch me there post game, and sometimes you'll catch me there pre, getting a little pregame meal. It is Kings Court, 13 televisions. It's in Edo, corner of Walker and Hutchins. It is a fun hang. It was outstanding after the Seattle game this past weekend, so look forward to seeing you after the Columbus game. We'll take a break right now. 713-780-3776, fourth caller right now. You get a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Columbus Crew.
ESPN 97.5.